Psalms 122. I'll tell you what I was going to do tonight, and I went from it. Maybe I'll do it next Wednesday. I was going to teach you that Romans chapter 11. We were doing God's past, present, future, and I was going to do the future dealings with the Jews of God, and I'll probably do that next Wednesday. But President Bush is in Jerusalem right now. Our presence in Jerusalem, trying to work out a peace agreement and give away some of Jerusalem, which I'm not for that. I'm for peace. But Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And I feel sorry for any president that would ever try to take away something from Jerusalem. And so tonight we're just going to focus on Jerusalem. You know, I'm a guy that just keeps hitting on one thing. And so, Steve, we're just going to look about how important Jerusalem is. God loves Jerusalem. God loves the Jews. Remember in Genesis 12, he told Abraham, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. It's no wonder that Germany and all those Soviet countries have had so many heartaches and were, their countries were burned up and people because they did a lot against the Jewish people. They got a curse on them. Hello? That's the truth now. Don't get mad at me. And why has America been so blessed? Why has America had such great riches? And why there's other than 9/11, we've never had any foreign bombs drop on our soil. You're right. That's right, Brother Michael. You're right. America was founded. There's a couple reasons for it. Number one, America was founded on the Word of God. I believe God founded America to propagate, to publish, to put forth, to send forth in all countries the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no country has ever published and put out the Word of God like America has. America's also always stood by Israel. America has always stood by Israel. And I believe God has blessed America for the gospel's sake. And for Israel, I believe that. There's nothing good about America but God. All the greatness of America came from God. America's not great because it's America. America is great because God made it great. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I should have wore a bag on my head today, Ohio State fan. I should have wore a bag because I'm so shameful. But let's praise God for what he's made in what he's made here. Amen. And he's forgiven. He's always forgiven Tressel. So, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And but anyways, to get back to Jerusalem and the Jewish people, the Lord loves Israel. I'll show you later on. The Scripture says that Jerusalem's the apple of God's eye. I could take you for hours and just work on the word Jerusalem. We don't have time to do it tonight, but I'm just going to give you a few passages of scriptures. And but the key, Brother Billy, is this. The reason they're trying to get peace and the reason Israel would do almost anything because Israel wants peace. And it's going to be the desire, Brother Leo, so much to have peace. That during the tribulation they're going to give in, they're going to sign a peace treaty. I'll show it to you in a few minutes, because they think they're going to have a peace, and they're willing to do anything just to have peace. A little tiny country, just a few million people, about six million people I think there are, and on a little dot of all the land in the world, just a little dot, just a thousandth of percent of the land, and no numerical people. There's more people in New Jersey than you're in the whole state of Israel. The state of Ohio has got more land than Israel. Hello? In some places in Israel, it's only 8 miles wide. Like from here to Kent State University, that's as far, in some places, that's as wide as their country is. Hello? Anybody home? And so, why does the whole world hate the Jews? Why does the whole world want to annihilate the Jewish people. Why do they want to? Why do they want to evict them out of their own land that God gave them? And Genesis says, "I've given you this land for the Mediterranean, all the way to the great river, which down into Egypt." Listen to me, God. They don't even have just a portion of what God gave them. By the way, God gave them the land; it's theirs. And He didn't give it to Abraham had another son. Are you with me? Ishmael, through an Egyptian lady called Hagar. And that's where you're buried. Abraham countries. I don't know. Arab countries. And I'm not trying to knock. I'm just trying. I don't know how to pronounce it. Arab countries, okay? All your Arab countries stem out of that. Those, and then, of course, Lot. He got the Amorites and the two daughters there, Roddy. Amorites, yeah, Moabites, and they stem. It's all crazy mix up over there, okay? And those people come back to haunt them too. But what I want to say is this: God never, none of those people ever got the inheritance. Abraham and his 12 sons got the inheritance. Are you with me? And so, down through the ages, people have always tried to take that country from them, but it belongs to them. And Jerusalem, by the way, is the city of God. Don't tread on Jerusalem. You mess with Jerusalem, you mess with God. President Bush, and he says he's a born-again Christian. He must not read his Bible. I don't care how much pressure and what politics are. I'd rather let God be true and every man a liar before I try to do anything against Israel. Amen? Well, let's just start. I'll never get going if I don't get going here. Psalms 122 and verse 6. Look what it says in Psalms 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. You know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God wants Jerusalem and Israel wants peace. The sad part is they're almost willing to give away everything just to try to have it. But what's sad, folks, look up here. Everything they make now is a false peace. Because you know there's never going to be any peace till the Prince of Peace comes back. All peace now is false. One day Jesus, who's called the Prince of Peace, when he comes back, and he is coming back, he will bring store peace. But until that day comes, they might say it's peace, but they'll find out it's short-lived. God tells you, I wonder if God cares about Jerusalem. If he tells us to pray for it, notice what it says there in verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. You think God, Brother Jack, you think God's trying to tell us something? Hey, you kids down there, you see Jerusalem? I love Jerusalem. If you pray for that, if you love them, I'll bless you. Again, I'll bless them and bless them, curse them and curse them. Are you with me? Are you still in that Psalms 122? Look at verse 1 and 2. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates of where? Oh, Jerusalem. Amen? And so God loves Jerusalem. Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. Now, over 2,500 years ago, the general Titus of the Roman army came in and he destroyed all of Jerusalem. Israel was scattered for over 2,500 years. They were scattered all over the world. God said at the end of the time before he comes back, he'd bring them back, and he has. In May 10th of 1948, they became a nation. They still didn't have control of Jerusalem, but Israel became a nation. Then in 1967, there was a six-day war. Interesting, six-day war. God made man on the sixth day. And man had a sixth. There was over 100 million Arab nations against Israel, and they had about 3 or 4 million, and the 3 or 4 million beat the 100 million. I wonder if that was God's doing. Amen? And so, and that was the first time in over 2,500 years that the Jewish people had control of Jerusalem. They lived in it, but they didn't have control. Now it's under Jewish rule. How many are still with me? I don't believe in my heart, and I'm glad, and I hope, Brother Dale, that Mr. Bush fails miserably. I want peace, but not at the price of giving up Jerusalem. Not even one cubic foot of it. Not one inch of it. None for you, as the one man said. None for you. And so, none for them. It's all Israel's. And you would think, see what happens. Politicians, they lose their skin when they have pressure from the world. I'll tell you what they'll do with those Arabs, those Palestinians. Tell them to get out. They said, well, we were first. No, they weren't there first. Israel had it long before they were ever there. And it doesn't matter who's there. Israel's their first enemies, but it wouldn't matter. God gave it to Israel. God gave it to the 12 tribes of Israel. That land's theirs. Hello? That'd be like you going on someone's property and say, I'm taking your property. You say, well, no, this is mine. It's all paid for. No, I'm taking it anyways. And they say, and what they did, they try to say, well, we're out of Abraham too. No, they can, yes, through Ishmael, but God said, no, I don't recognize Ishmael. You study the scriptures. He said, the kick out the bondwoman, talking about Ishmael's mother, Hagar. Are you with me? He said, no, in Isaac shall everything be blessed. And so don't let politics and don't let the world and don't let ABC, Fox, or anybody else, CNN, mess your mind up. Just take the Bible. And the Bible says Jerusalem belongs to God and God's people. Amen? And that's plus nothing. I like what the preacher said this morning. He said, in God's in the first chapter, and God said it. He says, and God said it. And he said it 10 times, and it was so. That's recorded 6 times. God said it. God said let there be light, and it was so. God said this, and it was so. See, when God says something, it's settled. Amen. And God said it, and it was so. God said it. It don't matter who believes it. It's settled. I don't need to sit down at Camp David or anywhere else. Listen. It's already settled. I got the book. I got the covenant. I got the eternal promises. I got the eternal word. I got what God says Almighty. He says, it's theirs.
Amen.
He said, you better pray for it. You better not mess with it. I'll bless those that bless them and curse them and curse them. I'll tell you one thing. Mr. Bush better watch where he goes. Wouldn't want to be on the same plane with him. And I hope he doesn't. Please don't misread me. I don't want anything to happen to our president. Sorry, I voted for him, but anyways, if he can't run again, I'm glad I wouldn't vote for him anyways. But anyways, but when anyone starts treading on God's property, he's messing with the wrong person. Amen? And so while you're there in the book of Psalms, look at Psalms 102, verse 21. Psalms 102, verse 21. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Italy, where the nice of pizza is. In France. Not there, is it? In Paris. in Germany, in California, in Ravenna. Nope. Where's the praise at? It's in Jerusalem. God's got praise for Jerusalem. Don't mess with God's Jerusalem. Amen. And let me read to you some more scriptures. You can, if you want, you can just stay with and let me read to you, or you can follow with me. I just chose a few. I want to read to you from Zechariah. Zechariah is near the back of the Old Testament. It's almost to the New Testament. It's just a little bit before Matthew. But Zechariah chapter 1, verse 12, I want to read that to you. The angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have not mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah? Look at verse 14. So the angel that communed with me said, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and the line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Jerusalem. You girls sing that. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. I love that song. Amen. I love the name Jerusalem. It's just, you feel good when you sing it. Amen. You feel good when you say it. And by the way, I didn't say this to you, Brother Mike, but since they've got back, if I understand prophecy, they'll never leave it till Jesus comes. They'll never. So I'm not worried about what Mr. Bush is going to try to do, because if I understand the scriptures, Marty, Jesus said that they won't leave, and that it won't, that generation won't die off till he comes. See, I believe we're in the last generation. Brother Jack, when they got there in 67 and took control of Jerusalem, I believe that's the last generation till Jesus comes. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. Notice, let me read to you chapter 2, verse 8, Zechariah 2, 8. For thus saith the Lord. And when God says something, we better stop and listen. Amen? For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he spent me unto the nations, he hath sent me unto the nations which spoil you. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. If you want to know, if he's, look at verse 4. He said unto me, run, speak, this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited. He's talking about Jerusalem. You mess with the Jews and Jerusalem, you're messing with God's, the apple of God's eye. How many see that? On verse 8, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. You want to mess with God, the apple of God's eye? You know, that's the same. When we say that slogan or that statement, she's the apple of his eye. We're saying that person's very special in his sight, right? That person or that thing is very precious or he's very caring or loving. It means very much to them. Israel and Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye, the people of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. You mess with them, you're in trouble. You know, a lot of you ladies have had children used to say, wait till your daddy gets home, you're going to get it. God's saying, okay, you punks. Well, he didn't say that, but you can, don't I have great words of articulation, you know? And he's saying, all right, you backslidden, unredeemed, you go and mess with my people, you're going to, when because the Bible says he's our father. As we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. Are you with me over in Romans 8:16? How many with me? The child of God, we cry out, Abba, Father. He's our Father. He said, anyone mess with you, when Daddy gets back, when Daddy gets home, you're getting it. Amen. And so, don't mess with it. It's something that's wonderful for by God. Then I want to share another thing with you. It's over in the book of Daniel. Well, I think I'll give you Ezekiel first. Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 11. When you read about Ezekiel and the 36 through, when you start at chapter 36 and go through, it talks about the dry bones. And those dry bones is talking about how how is the nation Israel come back to life, and they did. They came back to life in 1948. They became a nation again. Are you with me? They were scattered all those years. For over 2,000 years, they didn't have a nation. But isn't it amazing? Brother Freddie, I want you to learn this, Brother Freddie. Even though the Jews were scattered for over 2,000 years, did not have no nation, no country. Did you know they never lost their identity? Because when a Jew was in America, they're a Jew. When they're in Russia, they were a Jew. When they're down in Ethiopia, they're still a Jew. The Jew has always retained his identity. Hello? They didn't even have a country for over 2,000 years, yet they didn't lose their identity. They were Jews, and they didn't even have a country, Steve, for over 2,000 years, but they never lost their identity. Think about that.
Hello?
Anybody home? Am I boring you? Now, stay with me. Notice Ezekiel 38:11. Now, when you pick up, the Russia's going to come down. When you see that, see verse 1? The word of the Lord came unto me, the Son of Man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, chief prince of Meshech. Meshech means Russia, Moscow. Are you with me? How many are still with preacher? I'm in Ezekiel 38. When you get in these chapters, Bobby, these are all prophetic chapters. Now, this chapter that you're reading right now, Brother Bob, Sonia, this is in the middle of the trib. When this takes place, Grandma Sue, we're not even going to be here. Mike, this is 3.5 years deep, right in there somewhere. It's in the middle of the trib, sometime in the middle of the trib. The tribulation is 7 years. We get caught up, which is called the rapture. Amen? The twinkle of an eye. And the world goes in. The Antichrist, Bill Clinton's cousin, is going to take over. And the Antichrist is going to take over. Could be Hillary. I don't know. Anyways, she's pretty close to it. Her and Bill, I don't know which one's more wicked. But in any event, it's true. They are the New Testament, Ahab and Jezebel. I'm telling you that right now. But anyway, did you know she won last night, broke my heart? Did you know he's so wicked, he came up for 1 second with her. They don't even want to identify her. And him and the little girl came up for a minute, and they ran right back down. So they didn't even want him to identify with her. I bring it up. Here we go.
Go ahead, preacher.
Do you know there's not one person running on either side? I am really worried for us. I know somebody like Huckabee, but he's not perfect either. But now let me say this. If it came to Huckabee or Huckleberry Hound, if it came to Hillary or Huckleberry Hound or Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse, I'd vote for Mickey. There's no way I would ever vote for Hillary. I'm just telling you that right now. No Christian could vote for her in a good conscience. No, you could not. That'll get you mad, won't it? You stand before God, you'll know I'm telling you the truth. You get mad at me all you want.
You don't need a woman for president anyway.
And you're right. That's another reason. I didn't want to cause a big problem. She said it, not me. You're right, though. I agree with you. But it doesn't matter. And what you folks, you think I hate Democrats. If you get a godly Democrat to run, I'd be. But I don't see one on the Democrat or the Republican. I thought Bush was one. Fooled you. Fooled me too. He got us, didn't he? He got your preacher too. See, I'm not going to. See, you say I never talk. I've been burning his preacher for the last 2 years. So don't say I'm just a Republican. I'm just trying to find a guy that thinks he's going to stop abortion and put prayer back in school. All I want is to put back the old country we used to have. Quit killing babies. Amen. That's all. I don't care if they're an independent. I don't care if they're a Democrat. I don't care what. That's the party. God knows my heart on this. trouble is, these people in Ravenna are so not Democrats, that no matter what they, Jesus could run in the Republican Party, and you wouldn't vote for him. Because he's not a Democrat. By the way, he's not a Republican either. He's not a Republican. He's not either. He's the Lord. How'd I get off that? Where was I at, Ronnie? Oh, got it. Anyways, I'm telling you, I'm concerned. And right now, Brother Brent, I don't see anyone. I hope God raises somebody up. But right now, I don't see anyone. I don't see anyone. The one Southern Baptist preacher probably is about the only one. But by the way, he's got problems too. And I don't know, Ron Paul, I don't know, I've heard him, but I don't know nothing about him. Is he a Democrat or Republican? I was hoping he was a Democrat, because I heard he was really good. Because I'd love to be able to find a good Democrat and tell you I'd vote for him. And this person, he voted for a Democrat. I voted for Mayor Conrad every time he ran. Mayor Conrad was a Democrat. Don Conrad. And he's a Christian man, too. When he was the mayor, I prayed with every Tuesday. I'd be on my knees with Don Conrad praying for this city and praying for our country. When Donnie was the mayor, if he ever runs for mayor again, you ought to vote for him. And he's a Democrat. And I'd vote for him too, a Democrat. See, it isn't Democrat or Republican. He's just a man that stands for the values that I believe in, is what the Bible stands for. It's not, forget about the parties. What does the individual stand for? That's what matters. Man, people, let's keep reading. Anyways, I get on their end. People don't understand me. I just love America. Mike, I just want to get America back. I don't care who puts it back. I just want it back. I don't care if a guy named an independent guy would run. Or anybody. I just want it back. I do want a man, by the way. You're right. And God calls men to run things. Okay, anyways, they run the home, they run the church. Okay, and but he lets the women, actually, he says the man run it, but we get to say we run the home and the church, but we, Coolidge, you and I both know, we know who's the boss. Dale, you're the boss because Diane said you can be. Okay, let's go. Let's get out of this, Dale. We're getting in deep trouble now. Now, I'm going to get back on what I tried to get on. Oh, yep, I'm in Ezekiel 38. This is this passage here is talking about all about Israel. It picks up in chapter 36 about how they're going to come back to life, and they did. After over 2,000 years of not being a nation, now they're back in the nation. They're back. They're real. They're living again. Are you with me? Those dry bones came back to life. That dead country came back to the country now. And in the middle of the trib, they're going to make a peace treaty. Look at verse 11. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. How many see that? That's talking about a peace treaty, Ray. That's talking about a peace treaty. Israel's going to make a peace treaty with the Antichrist. And they're going to make it right after the rapture. Coolidge, that's why the rapture could happen. They keep talking. Jack, they're going to make that peace treaty at the start. It's going to be broke in the middle. But they're going to do it at the start, right after the rapture happens. Because it says in Daniel that he makes a covenant for 1 week. And that's 1 week in the Old Testament represents 7 years. Are you with me? How many are still with me? And that's Daniel 9:27. Don't turn to it. We got time. I had a ton of scripture. We're not going to get to it. But in Daniel 9:27, it says that Israel is going to make a covenant with the Antichrist. It doesn't say Antichrist. They make a covenant for 1 week. And 1 week in the Old Testament many times represents 7 years. And remember, he worked 7 years for his wife, Jacob. Yeah. Jacob worked 7 years for for Rachel. Then the other sister, Leah, was the tender-eyed. She was cross-sided, and she was older. So he, that father-in-law is a pretty good guy. He snookered him. He said, "You work 7 years, I'll give you my daughter." He just didn't tell him which one. So then he worked 7 years for him, and the honeymoon night, he found out it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. And so she was tender-eyed. That means she was cross-eyed, or she was hard of seeing. By the way, most of the Jewish people all wear glasses. It's a trait. Now, I wear glasses. I'm not Jew. But if you're there, how many are still with me? But it's more prevalent with them. Are you still with me? So then he worked another 7 years for Rachel, because that's when he really wanted. Hello? So 1 week in the Old Testament, many times, not all the time, but several times, 1 week represents 7 years. So when you read that in Daniel, it says he makes a covenant for 1 week. It means he made a covenant, a peace treaty, for 7 years. It says in the middle. What's one half of seven? Three and a half. And there's 7 years in the tribulation. And in the middle of the trib, 3.5 years, that's when Antichrist is going to go in the temple. That's why, did you hear what they, I just heard this 2 days ago. I didn't know this even happened. Did you know that the high priest went up and prayed on the holy mount for the temple? Did you know the Jewish people put a law that you can't even pray on there now? Hello? You don't know what I'm talking about, but I know. See, what that third temple's going up. There's going to be a third temple, because the Antichrist is going to go after 3.5 years of being the Antichrist, being the leader of the world, he's going to proclaim himself as God. He's going to go in that temple. It says in the Old and the New that he's going to go in and proclaim himself as God. That's what you call the desolations. Daniel, abomination. Thank you. And so it's over in Matthew 24. You can read it in Luke 23, probably. It's over in there. Mark 13. Anyways, all those chapters there are all talks about the tribulation, those chapters there. But it's Luke 21, Mark 13, Matthew 24. When you read those chapters in those books, all those are tribulation passages. Okay, now let me get back. So, in the middle of the tribulation, but before he goes in there, they're going to make a peace treaty. That's why George Bush is over there right now. They're trying to get a peace treaty. And it's amazing, because they always talk about 7 years. And it's amazing, most of the time, they meet in Camp David. Interesting. Hello? Is anybody still with me? Well, look at Ezekiel 38:11. They shall go up to the land of unwalled villages. In other words, they're in a peace treaty, and they're not looking for anybody to attack them. I will go unto them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, unwalled villages. They're going to, in Russia, they're going to come over those Caucasus Mountains, and they're going to come over on horses by the thousands, because you can't pick horses up on radar. Hello. Do you know who has the most horses in all the world? Russia. They've got the largest cavalry of anybody in all the world. Russia. Russia hates God. That's why I was so excited to get the missionary in there. I talked to him again about Oleg. He's going to try to get somebody to go after Oleg up there in St. Petersburg for me. I've never forgot Oleg. Well, that Russian man I sent stuff to. And I've been over, and I'll tell you, since going to Germany, you don't understand, Europe has no sentiments for God, no sentiments for Israel. I'm going to tell you right now, America's getting just like it. But it's terrifying over in Europe. Look at Great Britain. Britain used to be a great place where the word of God went out. Now look at it. Cold and dried up. Well, anyways, in Ezekiel 38, Russia's going to come down. Are you with me? And Libya's going to be in there and all kinds. By the way, did you know that Russia, for the first time ever, Russia and Iran have made a peace treaty? Russia and Iran, they hate each other's guts. Russia's giving them all kinds of missiles. You know why? For the destruction of Israel. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's coming back. He's coming back. I'm going to tell you, folks. Man, let's do all we can this year for Christ. Let's run them buses. Let's help as many missionaries. Let's witness to all our family and friends. Let's do all we can to do what we can this year, because I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many more years we got, Lou. I'm serious. Amen? And they come down, and so if you'll notice, they're, what are they? Unwalled villages. Let me read to you another scripture from 1 Thessalonians 5. That's in the New Testament. By the way, I've got it. It's already after 8 o'clock. I've got a ton of scripture. We're not going to get to it. So I'm just going to grab one more or two more, and that'll be it. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, I'll start at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians, the New Testament, probably three-fourths through your Bible. You got 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. Are you with me? How many got it? Okay. Look at 5:1. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You don't need to know, because you're not going to be here. Don't worry about it. You're not going under the undertaker. You're going with the upper taker. You're going up with up, down, or whatever. You're going up with Jesus. Amen? And you guys never saw that commercial. When I was a kid, living up, with up, down. That's out of Detroit. That's why I lived in. I had a rough childhood. You've noticed that, haven't you? Notice. You guys have been sheltered here in Mayberry here. When I moved here, I told people it's just like little Mayberry. I love little Ravenna. Little Ravenna's just like a little Mayberry. I've met Barney Fife a couple times since being here. And Andy. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need. By the way, Ravenna's been good for me. I was a hard nut, and I think you've mellowed me out a little bit. I'm glad. I needed to be mellowed out a little. Virgil says, amen. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He's coming when nobody even realizes it. He's going to come. No one even gonna, see, that's the rapture. Because you know why I know that's the rapture? Because the revelation, everybody sees him. It says when he comes down, every eye will see him. Hello. But in the rapture, it's a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should all be sleep. We should all sleep, but be changed in a moment. Just those that are saved. At the last trump, be taken out. Amen. For yourself know perfectly that the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, what happens after the rapture? They make a peace treaty for 7 years. Are you with me? For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travails a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They say some of the greatest pain is a woman having a childbirth. And by the way, it's not as painful. It's very dangerous. As a matter of fact, you go right through the valley of death every time you have a child. You could die with that child. Hello? Are you still with me? And God said the tribulation is going to be the worst time that this earth has ever known. And so, Brother Bud, they're going to do all they can to make a peace treaty. like according to Daniel chapter 7. According to Daniel 9:27, they're going to make a peace treaty. According to Ezekiel 38:11, during that they're going to Russia's going to come down and attack. But don't let it bother you. God, the Bible says in Ezekiel, God's going to put hooks in their jaws. Ezekiel 38. Amen. So he's going to put and he's going to put the, as we would say from the streets, Brother Steve, he's going to put a whooping on them. They're gonna come around, and just when they think they got Israel, they're gonna put a whooping on them. Did you know that the Russian missionary told me today that underneath that Temple Mount right now, underneath there they've got like they dug caverns. They got enough for 30,000 people to stay in there in Jerusalem. Now during the trip, they're gonna. Israel talks about an eagle flying in the book of Revelation. Brother Josh is teaching that. You know, it's like that's referring to an air flight, like an airlift. They're going to go, the people of Israel is going to go to a place called Petrol, and he's going to protect them in there. Right now, they're getting their, they say they're putting all kinds of food and everything in there right now because they're getting ready. Folks, everything's getting ready for Christ to come back. That's why I think we're so close, I haven't even got it. Like people come and say, who do you like? A preacher asked me this. I said, you know, I haven't even watched those candidates. I'm not even interested in it. I haven't seen it. And I said, I think we're so close to rapture. There's a good opportunity. I think Hillary's going to win. I'm not going to vote for her. But God's got a purpose for everything. He's got a plan. And I've always thought her and Bill would usher us into the tribulation end. See what? Because she put him ahead of all the United Nations. You might get mad at me, but Bill Clinton is a wicked man. And she's as wicked as him. You can get mad at me all you want. When we get to heaven, you're gonna tell God, I'm sorry I got mad preacher. You just don't understand how you don't understand the behind the scenes like preacher does. If you don't have to understand the behind the scenes of Clinton, he does everything out in the open. He has no shame. Amen? But anyways, what I'm saying is this. I'm going to quit. Jerusalem. Mr. Our president's there right now. Want to look at one more scripture? I got to quit. Let me give you one more. Revelation. I had Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. Let me close in Revelation. I'm in the New Testament. Let's see. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out of, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. Look at, after you read that, now look at Revelation 21:2, and I'll stop. Look at 21:1, 21:2, Revelation. I saw a new heaven, new earth. See, this is going to be burned up. Even Jerusalem over there is going to be burned up. I saw a new, are you in Revelation 21, verse 1? I saw a new heaven. Revelation 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because this whole earth, is even Jerusalem, is going to be burned up. For the first heaven, first earth, were passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. You see that? Look over in verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit of the great high mountain, and show me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. I want to tell you right now, God loves Jerusalem. And even when he destroys the old one, he's going to create a new one. Amen? There never will not be a Jerusalem. There's an old Jerusalem, and then one day there's going to be a new one. That's another message. already. I hope we showed you something or encouraged you some way that watch Israel. They're God's time clock. Watch Israel. It's fun watching Israel. There'll be, Jack, you got a question?
If I can, I just want to ask for a prayer request.
Yes.
Remember when we did John and Romans in Russian?
Yes. Amen.
I went and got it. I gave it to him, and I didn't see him for months. Okay? And it just bothered me so much. This morning, he was there. I went up to him, and I put out my hand, and he grabbed my hand and gave me a great big hug.
Wow.
And I didn't get to talk to him. I just told him it was nice to see him. I said, I'd like to talk to you when I have time. And he said, I'd love to talk to you. And just pray that I get the opportunity.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You gave him the most precious thing in the world, the Bible. Isn't that great? Isn't that exciting? That's why we want to always keep doing these seed lines. Amen? We'll pray for that Russian. He might have already been saved. Well, God knows it. Lord, just be with that Russian that Brother Jack witnessed to. And that's exciting. Glad you shared that. We sent that man from Thai. He wrote back and thanked us. That one that we had in Thailand. We bought some shoes from us. T-Boy. I can't think of his last name. His first two names. T-Boy. T-E-E. Boy. B-O-Y. That's his middle name. He always says, please put my middle name. T-Boy. I said, okay, T-Boy. Sure will. I'll tee it up for you. And amen. I'm in a good mood. You can tell. Let's stand for prayer. Glad you came. Brother Coolidge, would you lead us in prayer?